morning, everybody. Welcome to the December meeting of the Illinois Toll Highway Authority. Can we have a roll call, please?
Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Rabbit.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Director Wiseman is not here because he chaired the Strategic Planning Committee yesterday and did such heavy lifting that he definitely threw his back in. We send him our condolences. We do have several people who would like to be able to make a public comment. We'll start with that. We're delighted to have you here. We have a policy. We try to keep our remarks to 3 to 5 minutes if you can. But if you need to go longer, you should let us know. So I have two people who are interested. One is Latasha Term. Is that Terry? I'm sorry, I couldn't read the writing. And then Keisha Lacey. Okay. So if you would like to come up to the podium, I should tell you that this means we're being videotaped and that's streaming on live on a computer. You know that. Okay.
Good morning.
Just real fast, I'm not going to be before you long. I am one of the faces of the residents that are being affected by the I-57 and 294 project. We came here this morning just so that you can put a face behind the letters and the correspondence that we sent in. We're asking for, we have 53 homeowners, business owners, and renters that are being affected by this project. We are trying to make sure that everyone, sort of the term whole, is made whole. Me as a homeowner, real fast, we're not able, I had my home built 7 years ago. I'm not able to go back and have a home built like I did 7 years ago. A lot of the other residents, a lot of the renters are not in the same position as they were 7 years ago or 10 years or 20, however long they've been in their home or renting their apartment. So this takes time, and we want to make sure that we have elderly, we have young, mid-age, you know, residents and homeowners. So it takes time. We have one resident whose mom is sick, so she has to find adequate homes for her to move in. And again, we're supposed to be out by March, and that's a lot. So you can imagine the pressure that we're feeling through this holiday season. So all we are asking is time, and we came into this project with no other options, meaning we had no, some residents have filed bankruptcy, they're not able to go out and purchase a home, so we're trying to create, we're working along with Joanne, trying to create options so that homeowners can be homeowners again. Renters maybe have the option of owning a home or rent again, you know, just to make the people whole. So all we're asking is that we have time. We had idea about this project since 1990. And it kept going on and off and on and off, and now it's a rush. And it's to rush someone's livelihood like that is a bit extreme. You have people dealing with children who have to have their children now going to another school district. We have one daycare in Posen who homes 53 children. They have 27 employees that are now going to be out of work. You have businesses, restaurant owners who have employees who are going to be out of work as well. They need to find new locations. And this also affects the Posen Robbins School District because they have a daycare or aftercare program that's run by that same daycare. So now the employees who work for the school district won't have adequate aftercare facility for their children. So it's a ripple effect. So we just need time. It's a lot. So we just need time to make sure that these residents and business owners are taken care of. Ms. Terry.
Hello, good morning. My main concern was me and my husband bought our home 6 years ago. We wasn't told anything about the tollway was taking the homes or what have you. When we bought our home, we put $20,000 down. We don't have $20,000 anymore. We filed bankruptcy. Now we can't afford to buy another home. We had our house built from the ground up. I have three boys. I have two that's in high school now. I have to transfer my children to another school district. When we talked to the people at the tollway, We asked them what programs is out here that can help the homeowners to be able to move forward in their lives. I fault Posen as well as anyone else because Posen's been knowing about this project for years. They shouldn't have allowed us to build on the land, and that could have been an option because we could have took our money elsewhere and we could have built our home somewhere, because when you build a home, you expect to be there for the rest of your life. Yes, we filed bankruptcy. No, we didn't put our home in bankruptcy. Yes, we pay our mortgage on time, but everyone in this room know if you file bankruptcy, you can't afford to get another home mortgage. That's just the law. They just don't do it. So where does that leave me and my family? Yes, we're one of the residents that have to be at our home by March the 15th. We found out about this project 1 month after we bought our home and closed. We got a letter from the tollway stating that our house was being taken. Then they stopped the program, they built the wall, we moved on with our life. Then all of a sudden came April, the end of April, we got a letter in the mail stating that they were going to go ahead with the project and we would have to move. We had a person to come out, they inspect our home. 30 days after that, they've been going back and forth. They just told me just the other day that I have 90 days to vacate my premises. What are we supposed to do? There is no programs. There isn't anything for me and my family to do at this point. So you're taking a homeowner to making them a renter. Now, I've been out. I've tried to rent. All of these homes is $1,700, $1,800, just to fit my family in. I don't have $1,700, $1,800 to give someone for a house the size of this room when I had my house built to fit my family and our lifestyle. And that's what I want you all to take in consideration when you all are having these meetings, not just for the project that's going on now, but for future projects. Because when you all decide to expand, these people's homes and lives are being turned upside down, and there is no alternative, and there is no programs out there. So I feel like when you all are sitting in these meetings, think about the people that's on the other side where they don't have nowhere to go. Put programs in place so that when you come and you tell these people they have to leave their homes, give them other alternatives instead of telling them, well, maybe you should be happy that the tollway is taking your house. Who in here will be happy that the tollway is taking their home that they put $20,000 in? I could have took my $20,000. I could have had me a house built somewhere else, and me and my family would have been happy. And that's what I want you all to take in consideration today.
Thank you very much. My name is Christy LaFleur. I'm the executive director of the Tollway. You know, we obviously on this 294-57 project, it's a project that's been much anticipated, and many of the communities in that area, at least the leadership of those communities, have been asking for this project for many, many years, decades. You know, it's one of only two places in the country where two interstates cross, but you can't get directly from one to the other. You know, we felt that it would be a great, have great positive impact on, you know, economic development opportunities, business growth opportunities in the area. But clearly there are some, you know, unfortunate impacts of the project. And some of that is, you know, these homes and the people who have been living in them and who purchased them needing to be relocated as a result of the project. We've taken it very seriously, and you know, the fact that at this point in time the economy is in a place that I think most of us in our lifetimes, it's an unprecedented condition where people over, you know, a 5 or 10 year period would normally expect that their housing value would appreciate. Because of the mortgage crisis and the economic crisis, people have found themselves in just the opposite position where they sometimes owe more than they owe more on their homes than their home is appraised for, their home would be worth or be able to be sold for today. And I think that that's compounded in Posen with, as I think Ms. Terry pointed out, you know, these homes were built very recently, frankly, after everybody had identified that this was going to be an area that this project could one day impact and go through. And we think that's, we also agree with you that that is incredibly unfortunate. I'd like to introduce Rocco Zucchero. We wanted to make sure that the board had an opportunity, and you also had an opportunity. I know we've met several times and talked several times with you and other residents in the area to understand exactly the steps that the tollway has taken, you know, we have tried to put additional partnerships and programs in place, kind of going above and beyond what we've done historically because of these unprecedented circumstances. And we do, at the end of the day, want the 294-57 project to be a positive for everybody who's involved. And we know that you don't feel that way now. We would like to make sure that you can, you know, at some point in the near future, that this can be as positive an experience as it ever is when, as you said, you're asked to leave your home, which is never an easy thing to do, and we don't take those types of decisions lightly either. So, Rocco, I'll turn it over to you, and you can kind of go through a little bit of the land acquisition process and talk about, you know, some of the new things that we've put in place and how we're trying to deal with these very sensitive issues.
Thanks for coming today. You said so much before too. I do want to kind of take you back through some of the history in the project too. As you mentioned, there is some history on how we advance the project. Some of the things I'm going to talk about today is the history, where we are with the overall construction, where we are with the land acquisition process, the number of parcels that we're acquiring overall, what we've done to date with the outreach, and some of the specific polls and property owner meetings, and some of the new programs and partnerships that we're trying to adopt, that we are adopting actually to help with situations that you've just heard about. So from the project history standpoint, the project's got about 20 years of history associated with it. It's been on and off again, as was mentioned. Really where it started was, it was a simple project. We were just trying to connect the two interstates, 294 to I-57, in one particular direction. We did some preliminary environmental engineering work. Federal Highway Administration said that wasn't sufficient. We needed to expand the project more. We need to look at a full access interchange in all directions. That was in about 1997. In about 2000, 1999-2000 time frame, we started a lot of local workshops to really work with the communities to figure out what should we be designing out here? How should we build this interchange to fit within the communities? They pretty much came up with the configuration that we're advancing right now in a lot of locations, but one of the things that they did add and we're building is the 147th Street interchange, so that more of a local access interchange. That was about 2001 when we came up with this this design. There was a lot of discussions back and forth. The project was start and stop, as you said, from 2000, you know, through for several years, I will say. But a few things that really started to change the overall complexion of the project. In about 2004, as was mentioned, the village adopted an ordinance for new homes, really within the footprint of this roadway, something that we still continue to struggle with. Between about 2005 to 2008, homes were built continually. As you know, we had started advancing our project. In 2006, we were hosting local workshops and stakeholder workshops. A lot of these workshops were in Posen because we realized the project was really at the heart of Posen. In 2006 also, the village of Posen adopted a resolution for the overall project, supporting the interchange and the configuration of the interchange that we had adopted. And about, as you mentioned before, was stops and starts. At one point in time, we were ready to advance the project. It stopped. The Illinois Department of Transportation took over the project, identified, I think that might have been some of the letters that were received from the residents. In about 2010, IDOT was advancing the project. They sent out resident letters. We did public meetings out on site. And this is kind of a new life of the project, if you will. We did some public hearings. And obviously in 2011, we the tollway, have decided we're going to advance this project into construction. We came up with the funding for the project. So now we've taken over the land acquisition aspects of the project for pretty much about the last year, give or take. So that's kind of the construction history. It does have a long history, like many of these larger projects do. I want to give you a brief update on construction. Construction has begun. We are already working on the 147th Street Bridge, 294 over 147th. The Department of Transportation is working on the I-57 bridge, nearly complete with the I-57 bridge over 294. And we're going to start advancing additional contracts with some creek relocation. This year is going to be more of an intensive, 2013 is when we actually start planning on building the actual interchange. We've done a lot of the advance work. IDOT is also going to be initiating a lot of construction in 2013. It's a widening of 147th Street to basically handle additional traffic. They're also going through a lot of right-of-way acquisition right now. We'll also be doing a lot of the building demolitions. You're starting to see probably some of the homes that we have acquired. We want to protect and secure them, so they've been boarded up. And the building demolition will occur after they've been inspected for various things, and we get permits from the county to actually tear them down. So there will be more things like that happening over the next several months. And in the spring, you'll start seeing some other contracts of tree removal and, as I said, the ramp construction itself. I want to focus more on land acquisition now. So here's pretty much a land acquisition timeline. This is something that you've all seen before. We've presented this before. It's basically what we always talk about. It's about a 12 to 18 month process for land acquisition, from determining what the right-of-way needs are, that's some of the early letters that we send out, determining the ownerships. We start doing our appraisals and negotiations. Right now, we're pretty much here in the negotiation relocation phase. A lot of these process right now, because we've been doing this for about a year. I don't know if I need to go into much detail about the process, because we've done this before. But if there are questions, we can certainly answer those. I want to give you the overview of the land acquisition. In total, we need about 300 parcels of land to acquire for the overall project. I'm going to focus solely really on the acquisitions and the relocations right now. Overall, we had about 66 relocations, and it breaks down this way. 20 single-family structures involving 23 relocations. The reason we have 23 relocations, some of these single-family homes have multiple families living in them, so we have to relocate the multiple families in there too. So if somebody's renting a house out or if there's other family members in there, we have to relocate that. So it's 20 single-family homes involving 23 families. We've got four multi-unit buildings all different sizes involving about 22 total relocations. We've got three structures for businesses, so strip malls, which would be one full structure with multiple businesses in it, a total of 10 business relocations overall. And some of the other relocations that we're dealing with right now are billboards and garages. I just want to point this out. You know, as we continue to work on these projects, we've identified some properties, and property owners have come to us and said, right now you're saying you're going to take a temporary easement on my property. Can you look at this as a full take or full relocation? So we're still negotiating on four additional parcels, three families and one business for some additional relocations. Right now they are not, but we are certainly willing to listen to what the issues and concerns are too. And these have been decisions really by the property owner themselves to say, we'd rather have you move us into a relocation. So it's something we definitely consider. So that's the overview on our relocations. I'll give you some of the status of where we are with relocations now. Total for 2013 construction, we need an additional 172 parcels. Many of these are vacant. It's those last few single-family structures and multi-family units that we still have to acquire. But to date, we've acquired 96 parcels of that approximately 300. We anticipate up to an additional 25 by the end of the year, so we are getting more and more to close pretty much every single day. But as far as all the relocations that we've done to date, 31 of the 66 that I mentioned before are now complete. It has been 19 residential tenants that have been relocated, 8 businesses relocated, and 4 of the owner-occupied residential relocations have also occurred. So we're well on the way. So, and as was mentioned, what we are striving for is to have all land acquired by mid-spring of 2013 to allow us to continue advanced construction. But we are also looking at the opportunities within the schedule and the construction itself to see is there some ability to kind of play with the schedule, make sure we stay on time, and identify what parcels we could, what we need, what are the critical parcels, and what we may be able to defer for a little bit longer. We have done a lot of outreach to try to make sure things, the information is out there. I know this has been a challenge on both sides of things, I'd have to say. We've hosted some quarterly meetings with the elected officials, that would be state elected officials and local elected officials. We've done a town hall meeting that was back in, I believe, in October, pretty much open to the public. After that, there was some concerns expressed about doing more outreach specific to the property owners. So what we've done then is we've hosted property owner meetings in Posen at the Posen Community Center. We've had one That was back about a month ago. I believe it was November 7th. We are planning on doing another one next Tuesday. We've sent out some invites and notices on that December 18th, so we've got another one planned. And what we've done at these meetings, it's more of the property owner meeting, the first one that we had, from the concerns that we heard and that were expressed today. It was something different that we did this time. What we brought in our negotiators, we brought in our relocation specialists. We wanted to make sure it was more of a one-on-one discussion. We didn't want to basically be standing somewhere and just doing presentations. We wanted to make sure that we were talking to the specific property owners, letting them know what the issues are with their particular case. So we had the negotiators there. We had our relocation specialists to provide more of that one-on-one assistance. Actually, that night we did close a few properties, so that was successful for us. We plan on doing something again, very similar, next week, like I said, on the 18th, again, to talk more about the programs that we're going to offer that. I'll explain to you a little bit more. We've also attended some external community meetings. I know that some have been set up through Congressman Rush's office, that we've attended some of those, posing as set up some meetings, so we've had staff attend again, hear what these issues are. We do want to make sure we're paying close attention to it and taking care of these properties the way they should be. We've got newsletters and some other information that we've been putting out. We want to make sure also, this is very important too, as we go through this process, because we understand the delicate situations that we're all in. When we're getting ready to board up the homes and demolish the homes, we've begun distribution, hand-delivering distribution letters to the neighbors in the general vicinity of where these homes are located to let them know why the home is being boarded up, and that it's going to be coming down, and we've got a contact person should anything happen, and we kind of explain what the demolition process will be. And we've been sending out some of these updated letters of things that are happening, responding to different questions, responding to both the residents that are here today, but then also to the broader community as well to make sure that people know what's going on. So I talked a little bit about the Posen Property Owners meeting. I want to talk a little bit about what we're planning on doing next week. That It's something, again, trying to make sure we fit programs and people and really provide the assistance that's necessary. We've reached out to, like I said, to the residents, the elected officials, letting them know what's happening out here. But what we've also done is reached out, and we're working with a memorandum of understanding with the Illinois Housing Development Authority, or IDA. We want them to come to this meeting as well. IDA's got some assistance programs that we're going to work with to really kind of do some credit counseling, figure out what the situations are of the people, figure out how we can get the financing for a new home, take care of the relocations, get people into a place, as you say, that's comparable to what you're living in right now, so understand more about the particular financial situations of the individual people. IDA plans on having 3 credit counselors there, which that is needed for us to help pre-qualify or qualify what residents can get from a relocation assistance ability. So we've got our existing programs, but then we're looking to see, okay, how do we expand our existing programs and provide the additional assistance that's necessary to handle all these relocations. So we've got this partnership with IDA that we are now working on, and they're going to be attending this meeting with us on the 18th. A few other programs and partnerships that some that have been adopted by the board, the negative equity program that really was a new tollway program. We didn't have anything like this before. We didn't need anything like this before because the change in the market that we're facing right now is really unprecedented. But it really allows us to satisfy these encumbrances of on existing liens on the homes, really taking care of the banks. So it's the negative equity relief program. As I said, now we're working with IDA on a new partnership to really kind of help people find some sustainable home ownership, help with the financing, understand what the financial qualifications are, get people into homes that can fit within the financial means, and that's why we have to do the credit counseling to understand what those financial means are and to provide the assistance that's necessary to get people into those homes. And then we're also reaching out to DCO. We do have some of the businesses. We've been very successful so far in relocating the businesses. We've got 1, maybe 2 left, and we're making some advancements there. But we've also reached out to DCO to understand what programs would be available, not just for us, but maybe for those businesses to reestablish within the community or within in the area. And there's other programs, just not about reestablishment. It's other grants that may be available to help their businesses. So we have also reached out to them and their partnership and putting them in contact with the businesses themselves. So that's kind of an overview of what we've done and what we've done and where we're going over the next really couple months. And with these meetings, I do want to mention this too, is that we feel that they've been successful going out there and talking to the residents, understanding more on a one-on-one basis what's going on, because we do want to handle all these cases the right way. We're looking at doing more of these outreach opportunities, the one-on-ones in January, February, March, or really until we're at the point where we've taken care of the relocations, provided whatever information is necessary. It's going to be an iterative process. We're going to keep building on these partnerships and see what programs that are out there. We'll continue to explore within the means of our existing program. So, any questions?
Directors, do you have any questions? I just want to thank you for coming and talking to us. I think you started by saying we sit in here and make decisions and we need to know what the impact is. And I think your coming and talking to us about your personal impact is important. I know that Christy and her staff, Rocco, have taken seriously your concerns and are trying to come up with the programs and help figure out how to make sure that everybody who lives there is taken care of as best we can. I think we have one person who has arrived who wanted to talk also about relocation. So, Bernard Bradley. Mr. Bradley.
Morning, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Teresa and her team has been with me and my wife for a few years now. I'm just retired from the military. I was deployed when they told me they were acquiring my house. My wife has special needs. So she had a brain aneurysm when my son was born. So I had a lot going on at the same time. I constantly feared that I would be homeless or couldn't afford a new house, or I'd come back to the States and you know, nobody would care. But Teresa was there, her team was there. I have already been relocated. I moved from Posen to South Holland. It was not an easy experience. There's a lot involved. I hear a lot of people focus on the finance part of it. Can you afford the house? Or, you know, as soon as you tell people, hey, the state is taking my house, first they say, hey, you got a free house. And it just doesn't work that way. The biggest thing that I think that everyone overlooks is the actual pressure that's applied to the family itself. When you uproot the family, you know, you got to look for schools, and your whole life is just turned upside bottom down. And it's really hard because everyone seems to focus on the property and not the individual that's in the property. One of the biggest things that we looked at was having to be relocated and not having someone there to talk to about the personal issues. I know Teresa and her team is there with the finance and questions about the housing acts, the laws and stuff like that, but there's no one there to actually, you know, talk to you and say, you know, there's no stupid question, but there's questions that you feel that you may not have the answer to, and there's no one there that, like, therapist or someone to say, hey, I know you're in a lot of pressure, I know your kids are under pressure, new schools, and all this comes down the road. But those are some things that I think that Teresa and her team did work really hard to help me and my family relocate, solve some issues, some problems that did come up. And like I said, we are a success story, because when I came back, I didn't know what to expect, what to look for. If I would get the same type of house that I had, I couldn't have a house with her special needs that had like a lot of stairs. We had to have like a first floor bedroom, and those things are really hard to find unless you build from, you know, brand new. And in today's market, there were tons of houses on the market, but the majority of them are ones that people have walked away from. And to walk in, it takes a huge amount of money to bring those houses up to standard. We had to give up and make sacrifices, no vacation for 2 years, me being away, deployed, coming back. It's like the process just like took off when we got back. She was like, hey, you got to start looking for a house. You got to start preparing yourself. We need to have your house appraised. We need to get your appraisal back. We need to know where you stand. So after all this stuff started, it seemed like at some point I was physically overwhelmed. It was coming down on me mentally and physically, my family, She's like, well, you just got back home. Now we got to move. You know, we don't know where we're going to move. So it's hard. And, you know, we thank God we made it through it. And we thank Teresa team for being there for us. They came out. Whenever we had questions, I called her. We went back and forth. We battled on some issues, but we came through and it worked out for us. So, you know, there's some people that might believe that, you know, it might not work for them, but, you know, if you do relocate and it's something you have to do, you can make the best out of it. You can take that negative and turn it to a positive and make it work for you. Start over, you know, new, fresh house, neighborhood. You just have to go from that and look forward. And that's what we did. And it's still a struggle. We're still adjusting, but we'll make it. No. Thank you. Any questions? Or anything?
Well, thank you for sharing your insights. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Wish you well in your new community.
Thank you.
So I just like you mentioned Teresa a couple of times, so I'll just take the opportunity to introduce Teresa Campbell, who works with Joanne Fenn and the land acquisition team and does a lot of work on relocations. And, you know, I know tries to handle issues, she and her team try to handle issues as sensitively as they can, and we want to thank you for your hard work too, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as a board, we will rely on our executive team and management to keep us posted on how things are going, and you understand, as I think Ms. Terry mentioned, we have a view of how we get there and when we get there, and we want to work with you to make sure that we're not doing that at your detriment. So we're trying to balance that. So thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. You're welcome to stay if you would like, and you're also welcome to have some of our refreshments, including the homemade holiday cookies that, you know, count. Okay. Anything else on that? Thank you, and thank you, Rocco, for your presentation as well. What I'd like to do is call for approval of the November 15 minutes of the Tollway Board, please.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay. And any recusals from anything? And then we have the executive session minutes of the 15th, which were included within those. I just want to make sure for the record that everybody knows that. What I don't see here are the overall executive committee minutes. Those will be discussed in executive session, David.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
And then we'll come back. What we'd like to do is then hear from the committee chairs who have held some committee meetings since our last board meeting. So we'll start with Director Peterson and the Finance Administration Operations.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met yesterday. It was an extensive meeting, covered quite a few items. Finance presented six items. We had renewal of the employee health insurance plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield. I think the HMO went up about 0.5%, and the PPO went up about roughly with the Teamsters proposal 5.2%. Is that what the numbers? The entire program. So it was a minimal increase over last year. Renewal of the property insurance program with RSUI and Chubb Insurance at a premium slightly less than the current cost. Lowered insured value. We basically through ACOM did a analysis and review of the system and identified some overpasses and bridges that weren't part of the tollway system that we were insuring, so they came off, so we reduced our premium there. So it was a good find. Number three, authorization to issue up to $1 billion of senior lien fixed rate bonds with an underwriting group to be named at a meeting in January. The underwriting process, well, the process for clearing this through the Chief Procurement Officers and Ethics has been delayed, and so we're waiting on those disclosures to be cleared. I think we're looking at a January board meeting to approve that.
A special
meeting in January to do that. We also, extension of a bank agreements with J.P. Morgan for a period of 4 months at the current fee structure. These agreements provide liquidity, support of $287 million for the 08 series variable rate bonds. Tollway Mike Kelsch and staff are reviewing alternative options right now for replacing the liquidity facility at the end of the four-month extension. Five, authorization was extended through 2013 to refund $570 million of bonds to provide for the conversion of synthetic rate debt to traditional fixed rate. We're trying to capture the favorable market right now and converting those. I think we have $1.3 million right now in variable rate bonds currently. The 2013 final budget was approved by committee yesterday. Remains unchanged from the tentative budget, which was presented back in October. The retirement rates, the General Assembly didn't change anything, so there was very little change from the tentative budget to the final budget. Mike Kelsch also gave a presentation yesterday on the debt management issues for 2013. The current market for long-term tax-exempt bonds is in the range of 3 to 3.5% right now, providing an attractive market for us with $1 billion of new bonds that we anticipate in 2013. And Mike reviewed that and the funding options and different scenarios there. Procurement had 7 items, all of which were approved by the consent agenda. Engineering presented 14 items that were placed on today's consent agenda. In construction, 2 professional service contracts were presented. However, I believe engineering is pulling out of 7.
Yes, we're still with diversity, still reviewing the details.
Still reviewing the details on that. On item number 8, diversity did come up with the percentages for the goals, I believe, that weren't included yesterday.
Yes,
so we have those. These contracts included 2 prime contractors and 20 subcontractors that are certified as disadvantaged minority-owned women business enterprises. Of the $44 million in awarded contracts, approximately $20 million of work, 43% is committed to these firms. Both professional service contracts included Metro-Protege agreements. In addition, engineering also presented a contract renewal for consulting engineering services through December 31st, 2014, and an extra work order that is associated with pavement repairs, other roadside improvements in the Jane Addams. Work was required to stabilize the embankment slope. That's why there was a change order there that affected the shoulder and guardrail unforeseen conditions. There were also 2 requests for final release of retainage, which were approved. Legal had 2 items, intergovernmental agreement with IDOT for work performed along I-8859 involving a bridge removal and replacement and appointment of counsel for upcoming bond work.
Thank you. Sure. It was a very productive meeting. And I believe all of the board members have gotten a copy of Mike Kelch's debt issuance and management report. It's also available through the minutes. You can link to that report, but it explains the way we're thinking about issuing debt over the next year, basically, which is converting some of our old debt seems to be costing us more than we could be able to get out of if we convert it over, and also the new debt, and we'll be taking that up at the special board meeting in January. May I ask the indulgence of the group?